Customization of care is a buzzword. It's easy to say it, but it's not easy to deliver it. We talk about what's worked in the past, what hasn't, what their values are, because I want to know right away, what are you scared of? What do you not want to do and why?
Welcome to That's Derm Good. I'm Janelle Ball, and I'm excited to bring you thought-provoking conversations about biologics, specialty medications, treatments, and so much more. I'll be chatting with some amazing guests about access, affordability, and advocacy. You're really going to enjoy this show.
Today, my guest is Dr. Stephen Lewellis. He is a board-certified dermatologist in Wisconsin.
That's right, yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I was excited when your team reached out to me, and that got me to listen to some episodes of yours and connect with a few people who I listened to and learned about through that. So it's already been really fruitful, and I'm always happy to pick up on another person like you who's out there doing so much good.
Yes, thank you. I'm really happy to hear that. You know, that was the whole reason why I wanted to do this, was to bring conversations. So
I bet.
Connect and collaborate with others. So that's great. I love to hear that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So tell me, okay, how long have you been in dermatology?
4+ years since I graduated residency. So I finished residency at Stanford Dermatology in 2019. And I right out of the gate, I got a job at a big healthcare system in the Minneapolis area, Twin Cities area, and then transitioned to a place in Wisconsin. And now I am just getting my first solo private practice off the ground.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
So your practice is called Above and Beyond Dermatology.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what's different about your practice.
You bet. So it is in its infancy, but the mission of Above and Beyond Dermatology is to raise the standard of care for dermatology. And everything I think about and everything I do within the practice and iterate within the practice is in service of that mission. So that's how I kind of keep my eye on the ball. And that came out of a number of things that frustrated me about both delivering care to people and seeing, you know, imagining being on the patient side of things in the care models that I was a part of when I was employed rather than running my own business. So I'm trying to take those pain points and creatively and innovatively solve them to give people a different kind of an above and beyond experience. And that doesn't have to break the bank, but it does act primarily outside of the insurance landscape, because what I want to deliver in the segment of the population that I think I can serve best are people who need a lot more from their dermatologist than the typical dermatologist who has 30, 40, 50, 60 people on their schedule in a day can ever hope to give, even if they want to. So that's what we're doing right now. It is primarily a virtual practice. So I do focus on more complex, chronic, and primarily inflammatory skin diseases. But I also am here for people who just don't find it acceptable that they have called their dermatologist and to say, you could come in in 4 months for that rash that you have on your hand. And I can see those people generally in a couple of days or even the same day and solve their problem quickly with transparent pricing, really high customer service, hospitality, all those kinds of things.
Right. So do you accept insurance then, or is it cash pay?
Not right now. It's completely direct pay. I have not opted out of Medicare and Medicaid yet, so I'm still thinking about those things. I have an open mind about this. I see direct pay as a way to rebuild the physician-patient relationship, that therapeutic relationship that used to really exist consistently back when this was the model of medicine. There wasn't so many people in between the doctor and the patient. So direct pay is one way to solve that, but it's not the only way by any means. And I want to set my practice up so that I can serve as many people as I can. And I know that not everyone needs what I'm selling. There are plenty of use cases where someone who wants to use their insurance and is happy to wait, and they will get what they need through that. But someone who has seen already multiple dermatologists and other specialists and really just hasn't been satisfied with what they've been getting, I want to give them an option to have something different. And those, again, those people who are just needing something taken care of in a timely manner. So right now it's a real easy kind of transparent pricing model. I'm just actually getting that off the ground, the prices. I've been doing some pro bono work while putting that together, but I have an open mind and I may end up taking some forms of insurance in addition to Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah. So, which makes a lot of sense too, because you think of all the issues that we've been seeing and the struggles with insurance companies and dealing with, you know, a lot of these plans that don't even cover a lot of the specialty medication. So sometimes I'm sure that question comes up in so many patients' minds where they're like, why am I even paying for insurance when they're not even covering anything? So I think, you know, that it definitely that support is needed. And I'm excited to hear that. So tell me, okay, how are you're treating a lot of your patients with chronic and inflammatory diseases holistically? What does that look like?
My definition of holistic is very simple. It is whole. So that doesn't exclude anything. It just brings a lot more things into the fold than I would typically have the time to address in a 5, 10, if you're lucky, 15 minute typical dermatology consultation. So that means I still have a very strong focus on my, you know, Western allopathic medical dermatology training. So I am going to use every medication out there, every treatment that has good evidence for it. I will know about those things and I will be able to offer them to people and discuss those. After we figure that part of it out, whether the person wants to use something like that or doesn't, we can move on. But my priority is always if a person is acutely in need of a treatment, their body is on fire, they are 90% covered in psoriasis or atopic derm, we talk about putting the fire out. That's not when I'm going to be talking about, let's talk about your sleep. I think you should, let's take the TV out of the room, for instance. Of course not. We're going to be talking about a biologic for psoriasis or atopic derm, something like that. And we'll move on from there. We put the fire out. And then once the fire is out and there's some space there for the person to breathe finally and say, okay, my life's not ending. I see that I can get some control over this disease. I'm the type of person who doesn't like the answer, chronic disease, chronic medication, because we get dermatologists get that all the time. How long do I have to be on this medicine? Back in my corporate days, I would say chronic disease, chronic medication, because I didn't have the time to talk about how hard do you want to work? How much work do you want to do to raise that morbidity threshold so that you're not on the verge of having a flare 24/7? And then we can go into the sleep and the nutrition and the exercise, mindfulness, all of those things that we know can decrease overall levels of inflammation and just make the risk of a forest fire, for instance, less, because we do the things in the forest that make a forest less prone to having a fire. That's my different definition of holistic. So we're doing the Western medicine stuff, but we're also bringing in all those other things that I know people really care about, but it takes a lot longer than just a few minutes for the patient to have a meaningful conversation about that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you think about the patients, when they're coming in the office, how much of that information are they retaining when they're they're getting a download for 5-10 minutes and they leave the office not knowing what is happening or
total
what they're
going
to do next. I mean, I get calls all the time of, hey, where am I supposed to get my medication? Or I can't get it from Walgreens down the street. What's happening? You know, it's like, okay, there's gotta be some education there, but I love that approach because when you think about sometimes the biologics could almost become a crutch for some people where they just feel like, okay, I'm just going to take this and this is the answer and I don't have to do anything else. I don't need to change, make any lifestyle changes or change to my health. So I love that approach. So what, let's say maybe a day in the life of Dr. Llewellyn, would you have a patient that comes in for severe psoriasis? What are some things that you're talking with them about along with, you know, maybe a biologic or something they're beyond the past need for maybe a topical?
I love this question. And that brings me to the above and beyond kind of mindset that I want people to associate my practice with. But before going into that, I want to address something you said before about patients becoming complacent when they are on a biologic and they're doing so well and they say, I don't need to do anything else. I think doctors have the same problem because of how busy most of us are. You have your patient who's like, okay, great. I have a patient who's doing well on Skyrizi. They are fine. It's going to be an easy visit, 2 minutes in and out, and you're doing well. Okay, continue the prescription. See you in 6 months or 12 months. You have your quantiferon, whatever it happens to be. And that, I don't like that. That adds cost to the system. That does not give the patient a chance to lower that morbidity threshold. And it makes the patient think, yeah, I really do have to be on this forever. And maybe they do, but maybe they don't. Maybe there's things they can change in their life that brings them to a point where they only actually need topical medicines, again, because diseases evolve over time. So it's a crutch for doctors as well as patients. And we need to be mindful of this and not just say, great, easy patient, they're stable on their Humira and just keep going. So, and that brings me into the example of a patient. New patient comes to me. We already know the diagnosis is psoriasis. That's why a virtual practice is nice. There are a lot of things we don't need to be in the same room for. And if it is an obvious diagnosis or it's already been confirmed in some way, we can get right to it and talk about how are you doing right now? How much is this disease affecting your life? And also, what do you know about it? Some people, I want to gauge how confident someone is about their disease. I'm going to have patients who know practically more than me about psoriasis because that is their whole life. And they have spent so much time reading about it. I need to know the whole book. They just care about psoriasis. So they can actually know more than me. So I want to gauge that so I understand how to communicate with them, because oftentimes I can learn from a patient like that and things that they've picked up on or tried. And then we're going to talk about how it's affecting their life currently. Maybe they're in a good period and we could just spend time talking about, let's go back 10 years ago to when this first started and tell me everything you've been through. Or if they're on fire, so to speak, we talk about what's worked in the past, what hasn't, what their values are, because I want to know right away, what are you scared of? What do you not want to do and why? Rather than me just saying, yeah, you need a biologic. There are a few that I like. It's a Skyrizi day, so let's choose Skyrizi today. I like IL-23s, for instance, but there's a lot of biologics out there and they can be pretty darn similar, but there's also subtle ways that we can match a patient to a biologic. So I want to get as much information from the person as possible to be able to customize their care. And customization of care is a buzzword. It's easy to say it, but it's not easy to deliver it. And to deliver it takes a lot of time. So that first visit is, if they are not on fire, it's a lot of information gathering and getting to know you so that I can really serve you well in the future. And if you are on fire, we're going to talk about what sort of fire extinguisher is going to be the best balance of risks and benefits for that particular person. And we need time for that. So that's never going to, for me, a new psoriasis patient is never going to be a 15-minute visit. Never, ever, ever. And yeah. Then after all that, if we still have time, if we're still excited, or we'll get into those other things. What's going on in your life? What's stressing you out? What's your nutrition like? What do you think is going well? I had a patient recently, her nutrition was probably better than mine, but she said, I recently started smoking again. There we go. That's what we're going to talk about. We want to go to those buckets that we're not going to go from 95 out of 100 to 97 out of 100. We want to go from 10 out of 100 to 50 out of 100 or 75. So that's the kind of stuff that it's not just, okay, now I'm going to talk about sleep. Now I'm going to talk about nutrition. Now I'm going to talk about, that's that sort of, I trained for a weekend in functional medicine and now I'm a functional medicine provider and I put every patient through the same thing and all the same lab tests and all that stuff. It's a little frustrating to me, but that's where I see the customization in it and truly the time.
It makes so much sense too. When I think about just talking to some offices and trying to get more information from patients so that mm-hmm. we know, you know, how it is affecting their quality of yeah. life. I think that question doesn't get asked very often or yeah. Even just the thought between, I know that some people automatically just assume that a biologic is going to cause depression. Mm. And how do you break that stigma?
After medical school and residency, the learning, 90% of the learning comes from people we're taking care of. 10% comes from reading some literature and conferences and things like that. But our patients are teaching us so much more. And I also believe that our patients can teach each other, especially once that fire is put out, more than we can teach them. And that it's so empowering for people to teach each other when they find a group of people who's struggling with a similar thing. And I think we we're passing up on a lot of amazing connections that we can facilitate in a typical practice. I sketched this out the other day. I sketched sort of network diagram of me as the doctor, and then all these 100 patients, and all the connections are just going from each patient to me. And I have I'm a node. I have 100 connections going out for me, but each person up here only has one. And then I said, okay, what if we make all these connections this way? And that would be a system that would be opt-in, of course. We wouldn't just say, okay, now you're in this support group because you're in my practice. No, but I'd say, are you interested in talking to other people in my practice who struggle with acne as a woman in her 30s or 40s, something like that? Trade secrets, just support each other, talk about things that you might not be comfortable talking about with your doctor. And somebody might say no, and I say, that's fine. But other people might say, oh my gosh, yes, of course. And then they could have this connections facilitated by virtue of being part of this practice. And that's another aspect of the above and beyond type of thing, these peer support networks that I have in mind. We're missing a lot of huge opportunities.
Yes, I love that. We don't automatically just offer up information that's relevant.
Yes.
We don't know, you know. So having those conversations is huge. I mean, that's one of the reasons I started this group. It's called BC Collaborative, and it's for other biologic coordinators or even field reimbursement managers that are dealing with access, because we deal with so many different things and it's different in every single state. I mean, it's crazy how Ohio is different from Michigan, and there's plans there where it's easy for me to get prior authorizations approved right away, but they're struggling over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so creating that community and being able to collaborate and say, hey, having this issue, have you seen this? What do I do in this instance? But community is so important, and being able to do that at the doctor's office.
It's empowering too to be able to teach someone else. That's very exciting for people, but not everyone has that opportunity necessarily. So I think that could be quite empowering for people to do that. And the design, of course, would be the official kind of medical information and recommendations are coming from me or my team, but it doesn't mean you can't pick up a tip or try something based on a conversation you have with a new friend, because that's all it is. It's a new friend. We meet people through the internet all the time. So why not use this as a way of bringing those people together, especially with a virtual practice where it doesn't matter where they are. They could meet up in person if they ever wanted to, but they could just have, like we're doing right now, have a weekly meeting like this, an offshoot of those support groups that I was thinking about as well. And I think this is huge for things like teenagers who are on isotretinoin, for example, not a biologics, not exactly what we're usually talking about, but those people would be really served by a small accountability group, for instance. Parental permission would be always required. But would you like to have another person who's been through this, for instance, a 17-year-old girl who went through this 6 months ago, who could teach you about her experience, say what to watch out for? The connection is going to be much different than that girl hearing it from me or a member of my team. And that's exciting to me, to be able to think outside the box and be innovative in that way, still in a safe and formal and official and consented way. But I think that is a selfish way that takes a lot off my plate, because people are going to get their questions answered often by someone else. And if they don't, they come to me. But I think it serves all people really well. And that time that I have freed up is available to talk to that person who's on fire because of their psoriasis.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So you have more of a kind of a hybrid. So you do see patients in the office still, or is it all virtual?
I don't yet, but I am very open-minded about that. My practice is in its infancy. My story is interesting. I was working for a large hospital system in my area up until August of this past year of 2023. And I had been with them for 2 years, and my contract was running out. I didn't want it to auto-renew. They have auto-renewing contracts, which I don't think is a very ethical thing, but they rely on them. And a lot of physicians just have their contracts renewed every 2 years without ever having a discussion about it. So I asked for a discussion about it. Asked for a meeting. I wanted someone to tell me how I was doing, all that stuff, see what the contract should look like for the next 2 years. I finally got that meeting and I rolled in. I was excited to start going, and they looked at me and they said, we've decided not to renew your contract. And today was your last day in clinic. Okay, that's a lot. Nobody warned me about anything like that. So that was really traumatic. And that is happening. And this is not a sob story. I'm fine. But this is happening more than we know. And I've learned that since that happened to me. And it's scary. Physicians think their jobs are very stable because of how demand they are. And yes, to some extent that is. I could have easily just gone and got another job. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have a huge impact on my family and me and my community, all of those things. So after that happened, I said, I've been with two of these big organizations. I'm clearly not aligned with their overall missions in terms of the leadership. I need to do something on my own. I can't expect to be an employee, but also want to have lots of influence in big decisions within the company. So that's why I decided to start this. It is hybrid because the stuff I like to do most and I'm best at can be done in a remote fashion, but it may end up being hybrid if I know that, okay, I really should have a opportunity to do a biopsy on someone 2 days a month or something like that in those cases, rather than having to send them to a different physician. I think that would likely end up being the case, but I'm not sure because I also want to expand my reach and have licenses in other states so that these people who really do want a dermatologist who's going to talk to them for an hour can still get me. But then in that case, I'm obviously not going to fly to Texas once a month to do biopsies. So it's going to evolve over time. But right now, it's just a remote practice.
It does make so much sense. And I think now more than ever, patients are starting to become more aware and they're starting to say, okay, I don't want to just have a one size fits all yes. type care. You know, they want to get to the bottom. They want to get to the root,
the root cause issue.
And I'm seeing that because, I mean, why else are people Googling everything? They want more information. So why not get that from a reliable source, from a provider that specifically can give you direct reasoning as to why this is happening and this is how you can really help this. And I love that approach and being able to get to the bottom of the answers instead of just saying, here, use this topical and come back in a week or so. Let me know how things are going.
Absolutely. The modern consumer, and in healthcare, you're still consumers. We don't often feel like them because we have no choice in a lot of the cases. So we don't feel like consumers. But I would like for patients to have the choices that a more typical consumer would have. That's what I want to give. And you mentioned one size fits all. It's also one size fits none is just as accurate as of an explanation. I thought of an analogy the other day that I've shared a couple times because an attorney is also a service profession. When you're a dermatologist and you just have your schedule filled up from the insurance flow of patients and all of your consults are 15 minutes and all of your follow-ups are 10 minutes or whatever it happens to be, a lawyer analogy, that's like an attorney saying the person who needs just some articles of incorporation written up for their business or something gets the same length of initial consultation and the same expense generally as someone who's getting divorced. And that is, and that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And it makes the people who really have a big deal going on, it makes them feel shortchanged. And it also makes someone who has a really small thing, who saw the doctor for 2 minutes and the doctor didn't need to be there more than 2 minutes, but they pay this huge bill at the end of it too, if they're not in their deductible, that's upsetting for everyone. So we need more flexibility. We need options. We need to not just have a one price for everything. And that's roughly, I know within insurance, there's different codes for complexity, but it doesn't nearly address it well enough. So that's what I'm trying to make a dent in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I saw something interesting, and you talk about how to reduce your client's risk of heart disease and dementia as a dermatologist. Yeah.
Thank you. I love thinking about dermatology as simply my lens of looking at a person's overall health status. I am a dermatologist, so I'm a specialist. So I do know all about the skin, hair, and nails, and hopefully can help you with just about anything there or can get you to the right person. But because so much of dermatology, especially the stuff that is not skin cancer related, for instance, where you need to be doing a procedure in person, is a result of stuff going on internally, a genetic predisposition combined with environmental triggers, combined with how generally how you're sleeping, how you're eating, how you're moving, how your relationships are. All of that contributes to how much inflammation we have in general, and that's going to have an influence on the disease that you're predisposed to. And psoriasis is the best example of this. In my old practice, I would run through a script. If I saw a patient obviously had psoriasis, new patient, I know I have not enough time to discuss the things that should be discussed. So part of my script, and hopefully I hit it each time, is that you have psoriasis. As a result, we know that you are at higher risk for having diseases that are part of what's called metabolic syndrome. You're at higher risk of having high blood pressure, high cholesterol, insulin resistance, which can lead to diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, all of those things. And Dr. Peter Attia, which is one of my heroes in this world, because I learned so much from how he thinks about early prevention of these things, calls those diseases the four horsemen, because they're the most common things that we die from. If we don't have a rare disease, or we don't get hit by a bus or something like this, it's cancer. What's heart disease by far, cardiovascular or atherosclerotic disease of either the brain or the heart. And then cancer, neurodegenerative disease. And the amount of inflammation we have has a huge role in all of those. And the treatment of someone's psoriasis with both pharmacologic approaches, but also if that person is motivated, lifestyle approaches can save their life in the long run. Because that person, if they undergo all those changes, might reverse their type 2 diabetes. They might reverse their hypertension. They might reverse their hypercholesterolemia. All of those things over a long enough time period could make them not have a heart attack until they're 90, whereas they were going to have one at 75. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason I like to think about it that way. That's how I frame it for people. And some people don't care. They're just like, that's not me. I'm not there right now. And I'm not going to push them to be there. I'm just going to say that's how I look at it. And I'm here if you do decide to get there. And some people are going to be like, yes, thank you. I know inflammation is like a thing. I know it's not everything, just like gut health. Gut health isn't everything, but it's a thing that people care about and it does matter. And I know that treating someone's psoriasis and having those lifestyle changes not only will change their life incredibly because these skin diseases have such a direct impact on our daily quality of life, but also the invisible stuff that they don't realize is happening. Fewer clogged arteries, lower blood pressure, lower risk of stroke, less cancer even, because that can be related to inflammation. So that's the reason I think and talk like that.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you explain that. That's a lot more clear. And I feel like it's easier for people to understand.
And I'll work on my messaging that I love that feedback, actually, because that's telling me that I need to tweak things a little bit. To me, I understand what I'm saying, but that's not the point. I need the person reading it who isn't inside my head to not be confused. Because if I confuse people, they're gone. And so I really value that feedback. And I'm grateful you asked.
Yes. No, that's great.
Thanks.
So you think about like how much you're supporting your patients and the approach that you have is so important. How many providers do you feel like are missing that self-care, that approach for themselves?
Too many. This is one of the many reasons that so many doctors and other healthcare providers are feeling this burnout in such epic proportions. Because when they work in a system, when they're an employee, at least most systems don't seem to care much about anything that isn't pushing the revenue cycle forward. So if you're a doctor and you're not in a room with a patient and you don't have someone scheduled on your calendar, that's not productive time. And that is a problem. And that really weighs on people. Yeah. And we're doctors, so we do sacrifice ourselves. Just like think of a prototypical mother with a couple kids, she is going to sacrifice everything about herself to take care of her kids. And a lot of doctors have that mindset too. We are naturally just going to sacrifice ourselves no matter how bad the system gets. And that's why we get taken advantage of. We're easy targets because we will unfortunately just keep saying, yes, 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 okay, I'll fill out and yet another form or check yet another box without being compensated for it because I want this person to get better, or I want this person to have access to the medicine. And I will just accept these constant downward pressures on the things that keep my business alive. So that's I think it's killing, literally killing a lot of doctors because they don't get the self-care they need. So those four horsemen that I talked about are going to come a lot sooner unless you recognize that you need to get out and change something and prioritize those things for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I really admire what you're doing and starting your business Above and Beyond Dermatology. Yeah. It's so exciting and really just innovative, just meeting the patients where they are and really helping to educate them to look beyond just their skin. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. And thank you so much for joining me and being here. And sharing so much knowledge.
Thank you very much, too. It's a pleasure being here. And thank you for offering me your platform and your audience to connect with. I love your show. I'm going to keep listening. I didn't know about it before, and I'm grateful that I know about it now. I've already connected with a couple of your guests outside of this and want to know more from them. And I'm the dermatologist, but I'm also everything right now. So I am the biologic coordinator. And that's not how it's going to always be. But it's fun to get to know these things. And I want to know about it so that when I eventually do delegate it, I understand it. I don't just say, yep, you have to figure out these biologics. And I want to put systems in place. I want to use the tools that are out there, whether it's RX Lightning or whether it's Lyceum Health or whether just all these things that can make our jobs easier, but we need to be intentional about them. So I'm grateful to know you and now have access to your network.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's great talking to you. And likewise. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with me and listening to That's Derm Good. You can expect new episodes of That's Derm Good every week. The podcast is available on your favorite app, including where you're listening right now. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode. Bye.